This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
And thanks to the help we get from Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, we'll keep it running. If you have any issues with your car, your truck, your van, or just any general car care kind of question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. Nick Stoffel, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things? I was thinking of looking at that and listening to that forecast. I would imagine that it's been kind of a busy time at Lloyd's, not that it isn't usually, but a lot of cold weather issues.
You're right. The cold weather definitely brings out the cars that break, the things that are on the on the verge, the batteries that are getting a little weak or marginal, and you get these cold nights and cold days, and that just kind of takes the wind out of it, per se.
Batteries, is that the biggest issue? I mean, what other ancillary things like are alternators, are they pretty solid these days? Is it usually, if a car doesn't start, is it generally the battery, I guess I'm asking?
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair assessment. I think batteries are the main culprit. But keep in mind, a weak battery or aged battery is going to require that alternator work a little bit harder, which can be stressful for it. And, usually there's one item that might be an issue, and then all the other items that work with it have a little more stress because of that, and that can also cause a failure there, too.
And I was trying to think when Lloyd's Automotive put in a battery in my vehicle, I think it's pretty close to 5 years. And lately, with the below zero temps, I've been putting a tender on it just to be sure, because it really sometimes doesn't or has a heck of a time starting. It kind of growls, but with that tender, it keeps it going. What is that running current through it, or what is it doing? Is that keeping that battery active?
So, first off, 5 years is a pretty good run on a battery, especially late model vehicles. There's a lot more electronics, a lot more demand. We have a lot more features, heated seats, heated steering wheels, a lot of the navigation. So there's a lot more going on inside the vehicle. So if you're getting 5 years out of a typical lead-acid battery, I would say that's a pretty good life. So if your battery's reaching that age, you're going in for service, might not be a bad idea to have them test that just to make sure you make it through the rest of the winter and the summer season. And then as far as the tender goes, yeah, it essentially kind of tops off the battery. It has a float, meaning that it'll kind of put out around an amp of current to kind of keep the battery full. But once the battery does reach that voltage, it shuts off. So it's not continuously overcharging that battery. And like you said, it's just a maintainer. If you have a dead battery, it's never going to get there. So you'll need a real charger for that. But if the car is going to sit for an extended period of time, or we got a real long cold snap and you're not one to go out in the cold weather, not a bad idea to put that on there, even for a few days, just to keep things topped up.
Well, I put that on my list. Another thing when I stop into Lloyd's, a new battery. All right, got that written down. If you have any kind of a car care question, by all means, we'd love to hear from you sooner rather than later, because, well, not only does our time go by so quickly, but Nick will be taking his leave about 7:45 when Ted Farrell steps in with his wine chat. So call us or text us. Before we run out of time, any car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Here's one that came in this morning. An older Camry, doesn't say what year. This week, texter says, I filled the tank up with gas. Gas gauge needle did not move. Later, while driving, it moved slowly to the full mark. What do you guess the problem is?
Well, maybe something with the float was stuck or hung up there. You know, there's a little float inside the tank. So as you add fuel or as you drive the vehicle and use fuel, that float's going to follow that level of fuel. So that it'll send that information from the tank up to the computer or the instrument panel, and then the gauge kind of follows suit. So if it was really slow, you know, running through this next tank of fuel, if it's fine going forward, maybe no problem there. If it continues to have a problem, a little bit of testing there, maybe getting there with a scan tool, see what's coming out of the sending unit, see what the gauge is reading, try to do a little dissecting before you have to tear too far into it. But just keep an eye on it. I don't think it's going to cause you a problem or you'll be stranded, but as we know, it's always good to know how much fuel is in the tank, especially when it's cold out.
Yeah, absolutely. This is kind of a long paragraph, so basically what they're asking are, excuse me, something I guess I've never tried. Winter wiper blades. Have you heard of that? What's the story with that? What's the difference, might there be?
Well, I haven't heard of them for quite some time. It used to be that there'd be a little rubber sleeve over the wiper blade to protect the metal skeleton-type framing of a wiper blade. But more and more common now that we have a beam blade, it's a solid blade, mostly plastic. And the way it's built, it kind of has the tension built into it. So when you put it on the windshield, it kind of holds itself tight there. So years ago, maybe some older vehicles, that might be an option. But for the most part, anything on the road now has, like I said, a beam blade, that wouldn't be needed.
Okay. Again, 651-461-9226. Yet another text just in. Is it hard on the car to use a remote starter? What about in extremely cold weather?
Well, if you're going to use the remote start to kind of warm the vehicle before you head somewhere, that's perfect. If you think using the remote start to let the car run that for that 10 or 15 minutes and shut off, I don't think that does much as far as getting the battery charged up. As we've talked in the past, in order to get the battery to be fully charged, we need to drive the vehicle, and while we're driving, the engine RPMs are up, you know, 1,500, 2,000 RPMs, which allows that alternator to spin faster so it can create enough current to charge the battery and all the other things in the vehicle. When it's sitting at idle at that, you know, 800, 900 RPM, there just isn't enough output to keep up and keep things fully charged. So if you're using the remote start, get the car warmed up before you head out. By all means, I do the same thing. I don't want a completely cold vehicle when I, you know, head down the road. But if you think it's going to help you by keeping things charged up, I don't think it really does that much. You're better off going for a little drive.
Very good. Texter asked this, when troubleshooting a weak battery or alternator, be sure to check the ground from the battery to the frame, Texter says. My daughter's car had that corroded ground cable a few years ago, and we replaced the battery and alternator until we found out it was the ground. I saw it glowing and smoking while trying to start the car. So it wasn't really a question, but a comment, if you want to comment on that. Wow.
That is a great comment. And when you know, that's always, it's funny because when we do an electrical systems test where we're, you know, checking the alternator, the battery, part of that test does include connections, contacts. If we do have a voltage drop, is what this texter is referring to, that's not going to allow that circuit to work properly. And when there's a voltage drop, oftentimes, you know, it's consumed, whether it's running a radio or heated seat, or in this case, it's being consumed by a poor connection. You know, that electricity is trying to make its way through that connection, and it's creating quite a bit of heat where he saw some smoke, or they saw some smoke. That can happen. So when we do those tests, and we have something that's out of the norm, you always go back to the simplest things. You start checking those connections with the voltmeter, make sure that the drop is within specification, and then therefore you can be assured that when you do recommend whatever the repair might be, you're thorough and it's accurate.
Very good. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a quick break. Let's invite our listeners to join in. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you if you want to call and chat with Nick or if you just want to send a text. Either way, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. It's another Saturday morning in CCO land when we talk cars, trucks, vans, and problems with those vehicles. If you happen to have an issue, call us or text us. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive is answering those questions as usual. Nick, for those that maybe need to get over there on Grand Avenue, tell us how we find Lloyd's.
Yes, sir. If you do have a question or need some advice before you take your vehicle in, we're always willing to help. So give us a call at 651-228-1316. And if you're in St. Paul on Grand, we're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, as you know very well, Denny. And then finally, do check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
I do know that very well, and we'll be walking through that front door and talking to those guys pretty soon, as you know. I tell you what, we're going to give you that information before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45, so if you missed it this time around. I tell you what, let me give you our phone number, and you can call in your car care question or text it, 651-461-9226. Nick, speaking of phones, Jim is on the phone, a phone calling from Edina. Jim, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
Yes, I've got a 2013 Cadillac Escalade, and it doesn't seem to... I replaced the battery this summer, and it doesn't want to keep the charge. Is it the alternator, or do I have a bad battery? And another part is that my remote control has worked some, but a lot of the times it doesn't work.
That could be a bit of a clue there, too. So the first thing we'd want to do is check the battery. You know, make sure the battery's fully charged. If not, charge the battery. Then we're going to check the output of the alternator. You know, there's a specification how many amps need to come out of that that alternator while it's running. So you do those couple tests. If those both test well, the third thing we're going to do is check for some sort of draw or drain on the vehicle while it's off. So even though you get out of the vehicle, lock the doors, everything appears to go off, there could be something that internally is staying on that's wearing that battery down. You might say, hey, if I let it sit for a couple hours, it's no problem, but I let it sit overnight over the weekend and it has a really hard time starting, that's going to kind of give us a clue that there's something wearing on that battery. So at that point, we check, you know, for a drain. We determine there may or may not be one. If there is one, we dig a little bit deeper, try to figure out what circuit by checking the fuses and kind of work our way through that process, eventually getting down to a certain component that's making that happen. So if the battery's that new, have it tested. Battery test good. Okay, next step, check the alternator. If that's good, now we're going to go down the path that there might be something deeper going on. So be patient. But if it's giving you problems, that's probably something you want to get looked at before it leaves you stranded, especially looking at the forecast.
Very good. Indeed. Looking at it, here's a question we get from time to time, as you know. Should you turn everything off in your vehicle when shutting it off for the night?
I don't know. You know, a lot of those things, I think, yesteryears when cars weren't as refined as they are now. I mean, does it hurt, you know, shutting things off? No. You know, I mean, you start the vehicle, they allow things to warm up before you're stressing them. It seems like a reasonable thing. I'm not sure it's necessary, but it does seem reasonable. So if you're a creature of habit, you might be the type of person that's going to shut off the radio or the heated seats. And, you know, some of those things don't automatically come back on, but in some vehicles they do. So by having those shut off, you know, it doesn't hurt, I guess, but I don't think it's something you have to remember to do.
All right. This listener sent this text. I had a 2017 Chevy Cruze, which I store, they say, in the winter with a battery tender on it. But the first couple of weeks in the spring when I started using the car, the automatic shutoff at the stop. Signs work later for the rest of the summer. They automatically stop does not work. I think the automatic stop. Is it true that there's a secondary battery for that situation? So I'm guessing it's time to replace that Chevy Cruze battery. Do you have any idea? Well, they want to know a cost, and of course there's variables there.
I'm not sure of a cost, and I think what they're referring to, and I'm going to kind of make this up on the fly, start-stop. So a lot of vehicles now, we have technology, kind of like a golf cart. You come to a stop, the vehicle shuts off, the light turns green, or you get through the stop sign, you take your foot off the brake, you put the, you know, apply it to the gas, and the vehicle restarts like a golf cart would. The reason we have that technology is that they've learned so much of the emissions from the tailpipe comes at idle. So all these intersections where all these cars are waiting for the lights, there's a tremendous amount of emissions being emitted. They've learned if we shut vehicles off, it really dampers that down. Once you're at the highway speed, the engine's up to full speed, full temp, the cars run fairly clean, everything considering, so they're trying to find a way to make them better. Now, because we have this technology, some manufacturer, some vehicle makes, will have a secondary battery just for the start-stop. So I think what they're saying is that they have the tender on the traditional battery. It's stored. Come springtime, they fire the vehicle up. The system sees that that secondary battery is not functioning or not charged properly, so it's not going to shut the vehicle off knowing it's not going to restart. So maybe there's an indicator on the dash. This texter drives the vehicle for a couple weeks. That battery gets charged back up through this process, and then the light's working properly and the start stops working properly. So I would agree, if this is something that's been trending, it's kind of giving you, hey, heads up, this battery's getting weak, probably a good time to get it replaced before you have bigger problems.
Very good. Another text says this: I drive a hybrid RAV4. I noticed when I started the car and let it warm up briefly that the gas engine quits and the car was running on the hybrid. Does that serve to warm the car? Good question.
Well, the vehicle's smart enough to manage the battery voltage, the electric water pumps, you know, the temperatures. So, you know, the car is going to make those decisions. If you're noticing a problem different than you used to, like maybe there's an inverter or something that's a problem, but you'd have some warning signs. So I'd say, yes, it's operating as it should. If you're noticing something different than the normal, well, maybe this is a heads up that something's going on. But I probably won't look too far into that. That sounds pretty normal to me.
Okay. We're going to take a break for weather, Nick, but I'm going to give you with a question to think about, and we'll come back, especially during this this cold week. Please talk, Texter says, about tire care during this upcoming extreme cold weather. We'll address that when we come back after the weather. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASE certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering any kind of a car care question you may have. We do this every Saturday, by the way, right after the 7 o'clock news break. We're lucky to have Nick fielding those questions here in a busy week for you and your crew, for sure. And I mentioned before the break, the listener wanted you to talk about tire care during this upcoming extreme cold weather. Tell us why you think they're asking that.
Well, you know, typically it's earlier in the season that we start to see a little of the tire pressure adjustments, and by now everybody's had to top off their tires a little bit. It's usually a one-time occurrence as long as there's no puncture or leak in the tire. And what I'm referring to is when we first get some cold weather, we get a lot of phone calls, a lot of people stopping by saying how their tire light came on this morning, they hit the road, the light went off after a few moments or a few minutes or miles. And that is because as it gets colder, as the air gets colder, the molecules move a little bit slower, which allows for that tire pressure just to go down just a couple pounds, a couple PSI. Not significant, 2, 3, 4 PSI, which oftentimes is just enough to make that light come on. And then as we know, once we start driving the vehicle, the tires heat up, the air heats up, it expands, the pressures go back up a little bit. So the easiest thing to do is, if you're fighting that back and forth balance there, is add just 2 or 3 pounds of pressure to your tire. It's not a significant amount. There's kind of a range or threshold that your tires can be run at, and we want to get just above that minimum range so when it's cold out, the light stays off. If you've done that and you keep having problems with the light coming on, that's a telltale sign there might be a leak in one of those tires, and the system's working as designed to give you a heads up. Let's get this looked at before we have a complete flat tire.
Very good. I'm looking at other texts. We'll try to get in, if not all of them, I'll save until next week. But here's another text came in. An 06 Mercury Montego, when starting, it idles up and then drops to 300 to 400 RPM. Eventually, it'll idle back up eventually. What do you think is causing this?
Well, you know, we'd like to, you know, check a few things. In the past, we've talked about throttle plates and them getting dirty and coked up. We've talked about some sensors that are input to the computer system, one being the mass airflow sensor. If that sensor's dirty or not reading correctly, it might be sending misinformation to the car's computer system, which is trying to control that idle. So the fact that it's searching a little bit says that some input's not accurate. So there's a couple things that we would check. If it continues to happen, then we're going to have to dig a little bit deeper. But I think the simplest, most common thing would be cleaning the throttle plate, mass airflow sensor. I wouldn't start adjusting anything, because if it was working, things have just gotten dirty. Cleaning them most times will just take care of it. So don't go under the hood and start trying to change idle speeds with screws or anything like that.
Here's a text. Obviously, want to do some mountain driving. It's a 2014 F-150 with a 3.5 EcoBoost automatic engine. Is it okay, question is, to manually use lower gears for braking when descending mountain roads?
I don't have a whole lot of experience with that, obviously. You can, sure. Once again, I don't think it's necessary. I think staying focused on the road with, you know, in your surroundings, the car, once again, manages itself. So if the RPMs are hitting a certain threshold, the speed's a certain threshold, the car is going to adjust which gear the transmission's in. If you think you're trying to save your brakes, you know, once again, you have a truck. Is there a big load in it? Is there a trailer on it? Lots of questions there. So I'd be very careful before I was using the transmission to slow me down. Unless you have some good advice or some information that tells you to do that. But, you know, typically just drive it as it's designed and you should be just fine.
Very good. This listener sent in this text, Nick, our new Camry hybrid would barely start after being out in the cold. Do you think that's a problem for hybrids?
No, I think if anything, you might have a problem with the 12 volt battery. You know, the hybrid systems have been on for a really long time. I honestly think it's a great technology. It's a good way to maximize fuel economy, efficiency. So the cold really shouldn't affect that too much unless the battery, the 12-volt battery that we've always had, is starting to get to the near end of life.
Okay. This listener sent this text. My Honda Pilot's rear brake pads are worn down. A repair shop told me they always replace the rotors also. Don't you check the rotor first to see if it's still good, is their question.
We see that over the last couple of decades, the rotors have changed. There are much more, they're not as sturdy as they used to be, I guess I should say. You know, it's a rotating weight. We try to manage rotating weight in vehicles to lighten that rotating mass by making the rotors a little bit lighter weight. It's a good thing. Now, people, they are expensive to replace, but also keep in mind, if you're old enough, we used to replace our brake pads around 30,000 miles. We'd resurface the rotors, get another set of brakes out of them, or maybe up to 90,000, 100,000 miles. Well, a lot of newer vehicles today, with the compounds that these pads are made out of, we are getting 60, 80, 90,000 miles out of that brake job. So those rotors are really lasting just as long mileage-wise. It's just that we're doing the brakes not as often as we used to, so it doesn't seem like it, but they really do last as well, work as well, the compounds are better, but they are more of a replaceable item because as they do wear with that pad, by the time they get worn out, they're at that discard thickness or they become warped, and at that point, the only thing you can do is replace them.
All right. I'll tell you what, let's grab a phone call this morning. I think Joanne's on the horn calling in from Bloomington. Joanne, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
Nick, yesterday I was driving my Ford Edge. It's 2018. I stopped it, and then I stopped it to fill with gas. Started it, and I got this notice: adaptive steering fault, service required. But after sitting there for about three quarters of an hour, I thought, well, I'm just going to start it again and just see what's going on. The notice went away. The other thing that happened was the screen where you get all your information, the navigation, the temperature and all that, et cetera, that only showed loading map and iPhone. So, and I've got some issues with a family member, so I'm kind of up against it as far as what to do. What's your thought, Nick?
Well, you know, our cars are big computers. You know, there are means of transportation, but there are several different computers in there. So a lot of times when we start something up, we might see an error, and that can be critical and important. Make a note of it. But like in your case, it sat for, you know, a period of time. We restarted it, and it was fine because things rebooted. It can be that simple. It doesn't necessarily mean there's something much grander or more complex going on. Now, if you say this happened, it's been a few days or been a few weeks, and then it happened again, now we maybe start taking notice. And then as it becomes more frequent, now we get worried that we could have a problem that could leave us stranded or become more complex. So my advice is that to anyone, you have a warning light, a situation that seems kind of strange, make a note of it. Like literally write down the situation, temperature, you know, it's first drive of the morning, I've been driving, you know, just any clues or tips that can be very helpful, make a note of them. And then if this happens or reoccurs, you know, two or three times, now we get an appointment. And when you take the vehicle into the repair shop, you have some journaling to share with them and say, hey, over the last month, here's what's happened. Those clues are very critical. So they can find the problem, also efficiently find the problems, which can save you some money. So don't get excited on the one-time fault. If it starts to continue to happen, you have some notes, you bring it in, and hopefully they can figure out what and why and how.
Very good. Thank you, Joanne, for the call. Now, we're just plumb out of time here, Nick. I'm going to save some text messages that we didn't get to, and we'll open up the show with those so we don't forget our listeners in that regard. So we'll do that next week. But in the meantime, how do we find Lloyd's Automotive if we need some help?
Yes, sir. If you have a question, need some advice, give us a call, 651-228-1316. And if you're in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand, which is two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. And as always, please do check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that. And Nick, let's talk next week. Stay warm this week. And you got a brand new puppy, right?
We do. We picked her up last night, and she's my co-host right at my feet. So we'll see how the day goes.
Now, what kind of a dog is it?
It's a Bernese Mountain Dog, which my daughter has been obsessing over for the last several years. So here we are.
She won't be having trouble with cold weather for sure.
No, she won't.
All right. Well, enjoy the puppy, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks, Danny.
That's Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.